The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
If immigration raids had not happened here, we would not have the disorder that went on last night.
The reality is we see peaceful protests launching in Los Angeles. And again,
the small level of, disturbances that we have is a distraction. But
even if these protests were 100 times the size that they are, there still wouldn't be an operational reason to bring in active duty troops or federalized National Guard.
Invasion or, a rebellion, neither of those things are happening
Coming into the country without documents is not illegal. It's not a crime.
People in the city have a rapid response network. If they see ICE, they go out and they protest. And so it's just a recipe for pandemonium.
I totally blame the Trump administration for provoking this.
You know, this was caused completely by the president.
What we're seeing in LA is chaos caused by the administration.
I want to share the CBS poll. It shows 54% of Americans approve of the Trump administration's program to deport illegal immigrants. A minority, 46%, disapprove. Are Democrats out of touch on this issue?
Well, I think if you did the polling in Los Angeles, I'm not sure it would be that way, considering we are a city of immigrants.
Hang on. But these are American citizens protesting.
You don't know that. Look at the foreign flags. You have no earthly. First off, let me repeat this for the BBC to please write down. There's 10 million illegal alien invaders came in here in 4 years. You just asked me, so where was the violence? What did your eyes tell you? Did you watch the footage?
I did, but what I'm saying to you is, some of those protesting are U.S. citizens. My colleagues on the ground have spoken to them.
That's fine, so but they're breaking the law.
But if you're, but
they're
what
breaking
you're,
the law, should be arrested.
But I just want to get to the
What's
thinking.
Your point?
If you have U.S. Marines in California around protesters, does that not move America to a different point?
It's not protest. It's not protesters. See, this is what you guys try to do with your language all the time. That's not a protest. That was a riot. Okay? They're interfering with folks that are being deported out of this country. They are breaking the law and they're rioting. They shut down Los Angeles for like 18 hours yesterday. That's not a protest.
He's right. That's Steve Bannon, of course, trying to talk some sense into the BBC reporter. This is a protest. January 6th was an insurrection. Got it. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/trumpetdaily. Feedback is appreciated. You can write us at td@thetrumpet.com. Yesterday, I talked about the stark contrast between what we see in the world today and what God's church, God's family, is producing, is declaring, is performing. We had our second Celtic Throne 2 show last night in Tel Aviv. 1,500 people. We actually had 300 more in attendance. Just I guess because of the momentum. I think we did give out some comp tickets as well. But for the most part, word of mouth led to quite a few more people in seats last night. And again, I got to see most of it on FaceTime, so not the best quality in the world, but still the reaction in Tel Aviv, it's been amazing. And I think the next show is this Thursday in Haifa, which is up in the north near Lebanon. Haifa, Israel. If you're listening from Haifa, make sure that you go to CelticThrone.com to secure your tickets to the show. This feedback comes from a Russian language newspaper. We had to get the translation, but there's lots of Russian Jews in Israel today. But this author here, this reviewer, says not only would 1,001 nights not be enough for Celtic Throne, it says all the world's alphabets would not be enough to break down into letters what was in this show. Some high praise coming from a Russian language reviewer or publication. So as I say, the contrast, it couldn't be more stark. You look at what God is declaring. You look at what God is promoting. God wants to lift our spirits. He wants for our spirits to be soaring in these times of turmoil, these times of violence. I mean, look at what's happening in Los Angeles. It's hundreds of times worse than January 6th. And they spent, the dear leader, with his DOJ headed by Merrick Garland, they spent years, 2-3 years, chasing down grandmama who happened to walk into the Capitol that day, arresting people that had pre-dawn raids for people that took selfies in the Capitol. And here, I mean, nothing says peaceful protest quite like looting the Apple store. How about that? Well, they're just protesting ICE. They're just protesting these federal agents doing their job, arresting the gangsters and the rapists and the murderers. Listen to Tom Homan as he describes what set this off. These ICE agents going and actually doing their job. You heard the numbers from Steve Bannon. I mean, it's insane what the dear leader opened up to the United States of America during the fake presidency of Joe Biden. 10 to 13 million illegals in just a 4-year span, and most of them military-aged young men. Here's Tom Homan, clip 4.
I came in Wednesday to kick off an operation on Friday, and it was a criminal operation. We served criminal search warrants at several places of businesses that were involved in money laundering, tax evasion, and customs fraud, bringing in over $86 million of unclaimed imports and skipping on $17 million of tariff taxes. And it's a part of a bigger investigation having to do with money flowing to Mexico and Colombia that fund the cartels, the drug cartels. So we were serving arrest warrants. We were serving criminal search warrants. And that's when the protest started. And as you said earlier, outside this restaurant, we arrested 40 illegal aliens working for these businesses. We also arrested significant criminal public safety threats. You mentioned that. Several rapists, child sexual predators, people that committed murder, people that committed significant domestic violence. And so we took the men and women of ICE in those 2 days, made L.A. much safer. So the mayor should have been thinking ICE. The governor should have been making ICE. Instead of that, they want to call them terrorists. They want to call them racists. And that rhetoric has caused this protest. And I was there the first 2 nights. It was out of control. The city was burning. Governor Newsom did nothing. The mayor did nothing. So President Trump, God bless him, he sent the National Guard in to save property and save lives. And I salute him for doing it.
They should be thanking the Trump administration. Instead, you've got the mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass. She's out there basically encouraging people to protest the ICE arrests. And so you've got all these looters now breaking into the Apple store in downtown Los Angeles. You saw it there in the cold open. It's just another opportunity for the thugs, the criminal element, to just have their way. There's not enough police. That's why President Trump sent in the National Guard, 2,000 of them, now 700 Marines. And here's the mayor of Los Angeles blaming Donald Trump. You heard it in the montage there, the opening. Blaming Donald Trump. He's at fault here. The Democrat position is basically, don't you dare enforce the law or else you'll provoke people to violence. I mean, that's not a winning platform for any political movement or party. Don't uphold the law? What nation on earth would take that as a position? No government would last. If there was no law and order, if there was no authority, the Daily Mail says harrowing scenes overnight saw demonstrators torch cars, attack authorities with fireworks, bricks of cement and tear gas while destroying infrastructure. Even as state officials tried to maintain, the 6,000 protests were primarily peaceful. The 6,000 protesters, it's just primarily peaceful. This one's peaceful. January 6th was violent. These people, it's unbelievable. Listen to this report from Fox News, clip 5.
Well, this new, random, massive group of protesters just showed up here, hundreds upon hundreds of them. We're walking behind them trying to catch up right now. They've taken over the street. I don't see any LAPD here. They've got, like, their own vehicle convoy. You'll notice it's all foreign flags. Tommy, if you can just kind of pan off, it's all Mexican flags, Palestinian flags, flags from, like, El Salvador. It's all foreign. And they have their own little vehicle convoy here. Right now, I don't see a single LAPD officer. Let me turn around and show you how long this convoy goes through downtown LA. You can see all the way in the background, more Mexican flags, more vehicles. I do not know where this group came from. We were chasing an entirely different group earlier with LAPD, and then this one comes out of nowhere. This is even bigger than the initial group we were with when LAPD was pushing them around. So, again, I'm not seeing a single law enforcement officer anywhere.
It's an invasion. they're not carrying the flags of the United States. They're Palestinian flags, they're Mexican flags, flags from El Salvador. They're illegals. And they're taken to the streets. 10 to 13 million in 4 years' time. You heard the mayor of L.A. just kind of brush aside the polling, you know, the figures that suggest America wants ICE to do its job. And she said, well, that if you took that poll in Los Angeles, it would be different because we're a city of immigrants. Listen to MSNBC reporting on how many immigrants are in L.A. just as one city, clip 12.
There are more people of color that live in Los Angeles than white people at this point. And many of those people are undocumented. Some, by some counts, 10% of the population of L.A. County, one of the largest counties, the largest county by population in the United States, is undocumented, maybe as many as a million people. Those people are our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates, our friends, our parishioners, fellow parishioners and churches. They are part of the fabric of the city of Los Angeles.
A million illegals, possibly, and they're part of the fabric. What are we, again, Hosea 13 comes to mind. What are we doing to ourselves? Sky News in Australia was talking about the flow of immigration into the UK. This was from a few days ago, but listen to this report, clip 11.
Let's go to the UK, where a fascinating study out of Buckingham University has found that in 40 years' time, white British people will be a minority in their own country. By the end of the century, they estimate that white Brits will comprise just 33.7% of the population of Britain. Now, they're being replaced by foreign-born and second-generation immigrants, who now are less than 20% of the population, but in 25 years will make up fully a third of the population. And by the end of the century, researchers estimate that 6 out of 10 Brits will have been born outside the UK or have at least one immigrant parent. When it comes to religion, the statistics have shown that the Muslim population, now 7%, will be 11% in 25 years, and by the end of the century, will be somewhere between 20 and 25%. With under 40s, it'll be 1 in 3 people will be Muslim. This is a massive change in the demography of the UK, and it begs the question, will the UK still be the UK, but with different people? If you've got a population that no longer agree on the symbols, the traditions, the culture, or the religion, with nothing to unify them and no shared identity, are you headed for civil strife? Or, Freya, do we have leadership that can somehow navigate this and hold a country together?
Multi-ethnic societies only work if we're united by shared values. We have to have a common set of values and culture. And without that, things do start to crumble.
I mean, that's what we're seeing in the United States. It's happening in Britain as well. And this has been a weakness in Ephraim and Manasseh going back to the Old Testament times. Just opening the floodgates, inviting the world in. And you can see why God said, no, when you go into your chosen land, you avoid enemy influence. You close the gates. You preserve your traditions. You know, you hang on to your laws, your government. You share in these common values, as we hear so often. They're coming in and waving not the U.S. flag. I mean, like Steve Bannon said, are you watching this? You just said there's no violence. Have you seen the footage? Are you looking at the flags that they're waving? Does this not ring off any alarm bells? Evidently not. Not for the BBC. There's a few exceptions. Sky News, Fox News is at least giving some good reporting. I don't know where these people came from, and they're waving all these different flags. Why isn't CNN and MSNBC doing that? You know, it's amazing to me. We know all about the propaganda and the lies that the regime media tell. But it's also astonishing to me, as I was talking with Sam this morning, at how quickly they race to a storyline or a narrative that's so obviously unpopular. You think they would at least look at their ratings and then say, I want to make sure I check out this polling first so that I don't just run with this message that everybody hates, but they're doing it. It shows how strong the derangement syndrome is. They lie and they lie and they lie, even when they know everyone hates what they're saying, hates what they're reporting. This bit of a truth bomb actually came from CNN. So congratulations to them. But as the saying goes, even a broken clock gets it right twice a day. This is clip 14.
Start off on the fact that immigrant citizens, immigrant voters, foreign-born voters have gone tremendously to the right on this issue in 2024 and 2025 versus where they were in 2020. Closest to or trust more in immigration. You go back to 2020. Democrats, get this, held a 32-point lead on this issue. Immigrant voters were in the Democratic camp. Jump forward to 2024, 2025. Look at that shift, a 40-point shift to the right among immigrant voters. Republicans now lead on this issue by 8 points over Democrats, more so than any other group that I could find. The group of voters who became more hawkish on immigration were, in fact, immigrants themselves, immigrants who are registered to vote in this country. Again, there is no block of voters that shifted more to the right from 2020 to 2024 than immigrant voters, and Donald Trump, at least in some surveys, actually won that vote.
How immigrant citizens, voters, feel about people in the country illegally.
Yeah, and this is where it all kind of comes together, Kate Baldwin. Look at this. The net favorable rating, immigrants who are here illegally, among immigrant citizens, again, those registered to vote. In 2020, look at this, plus 23 points on the net favorable rating. But look at where we were in 2024, minus 6 points. Underwater. So immigrant citizens have become increasingly unfavorable in their views of those immigrants who are here illegally. So I think it's so important when we're talking about this debate from a political angle to separate those out who are undocumented immigrants versus those who are here legally and those who are citizens and those who are voters, because that group of voters has felt increasingly distant from those immigrants who are here legally. And so again, when we're talking about this, at least from a political angle, this is why Donald Trump feels so comfortable, because in fact, amongst the group that you would think that would be most opposed to this, in fact, they become increasingly favorable, not toward just towards Donald Trump, but towards a Republican point of view on immigration and becoming distant from those immigrants who are here illegally.
The legal immigrants support Donald Trump and his policies, and they want these ICE raids. They see the country unraveling. I mean, as I say, that's astounding to me that Karen Bass, that Governor Newsom, that some of the other prominent Democrats in D.C., that they don't see this and say, look, we're killing our party. Why would we do this? Instead, they're out there screaming that Donald Trump, he's going to use this as an opportunity to lower the boom, not just on L.A., but the entire country. He's going to become a dictator. He's going to take over. He's going to take over local law enforcement. Listen to this from, I'm not sure which channel this was on, but this is clip 17.
So play this out for me, because the moment that happens, if the president does decide that he's going to invoke the Insurrection Act so that he can bring the Marines in or whatever it is he wants to do, that suddenly affects all of us around the country. Because once you have invoked the Insurrection Act, it's not the Insurrection Act for Los Angeles, it's the Insurrection Act.
Yes, it is. And there's all kinds of talk about like how they were trying to maybe get this act. So I think there's a lot of conspiracy theories about it, back and forth. And you can look at it, were they trying to figure something out to do this or not? But again, if he wants to use federal, military, active duty military or federalized National Guard, you have to go through that mechanism. And like you said, it's not just for one area like L.A. It is now the Insurrection Act, and then other things can come into play.
So there they are now trying to act like the Insurrection Act has never been used before. And of course it has been. It's been used. I think Eisenhower used it. Lyndon Johnson, the first George Bush, the founders, they understood that at times you need to crack down on mobs, on insurrections. So you have an Insurrection Act for that very purpose. Now, all of that said, not that I want to play into the Democrat narrative here, but, we've been following closely Donald Trump's second term and just the fact that in the Bible it speaks of him as having king-like powers. I mean, given the support that he has, even from immigrants, legal immigrants, you can see where this crackdown on all of this violence and mayhem would in fact give Donald Trump more power. I mean, this is astounding to see this play out. How many prophecies are being fulfilled right at once? In some ways, I mean, we used to talk about Barack Obama and just how he lusted for so much power, and he wanted federal oversight over all of law enforcement, local law enforcement. And at the time, we were telling you how dangerous that was. But then here comes Jeroboam. Here comes Donald Trump. And basically, you have the feds. You have the feds coming to the rescue because local law enforcement can't handle the violence. I mean, it's been going on for 4 days. They're smashing cars. They're burning them up. And it's not people turning out to have fun as they watch cars burn. They're looting the Apple store. And so you've got a majority of Americans. You've got even legal immigrants saying, yes, we don't like to see chaos. We don't want to see anarchy in the streets of our cities. Isn't it amazing? The crackdown is justified. This is the Insurrection Act, if Donald Trump uses it. It's justified. And all of it's just making him even stronger as a leader. Miranda Devine at the New York Post. The minute the foreign flags came out in the violent anti-ICE protests in L.A. over the weekend, that's when President Trump won the moral high ground. As soon as the foreign flags show up, then you know it's a war. Then you know it's an invasion. Then you know, send in the Marines. She's exactly right. An iconic image showing a masked man on a motorcycle circling a burning car while holding aloft a giant Mexican flag against a backdrop of black, acrid smoke and a row of police cars captured the mood. It was the summer of love all over again. And America has had a gutful. America's sick and tired of it. America wants to empower Donald Trump. America wants him to have king-like powers so that he can lower the boom on this chaos, this violence, this looting, this burning. It's the summer of love all over again. The president could not have asked for a better advertisement for his tough border policies. He always said that the millions of illegal aliens who swarmed over the border under President Joe Biden was an invasion. And here were the invaders making his point for him. As a result, the Democrats have no moral standing. Imagine arguing, politically, I mean, imagine arguing for no law and order. Don't bring in the authorities. Just let the tantrum play out. Let them burn and loot. Let them steal, rob, murder. It'll die out eventually. The Democrats have no moral standing. They are moored in no man's land, owning Biden's invasion and the violent masked agitators waving any flag but America's. Well, she has a lot of it right. Except that last bit about it being Biden's invasion. Yes, 10 to 13 million came in during the fake presidency of Joe Biden. But this is actually Barack Obama's invasion. This is what Obama envisioned years ago when he was talking about a fundamental transformation. This is what he wanted in his first and second term. But it was too early. It would have been too shocking. It would have upset too many Americans. So he waited. He waited for the puppet and then opened the floodgates. And now they're everywhere. All these military-aged men who are taking to the streets, waving foreign flags. It's Obama's invasion. But because he's been silenced, God did that, you don't see Obama. I mean, this is another fulfilled prophecy. It's stunning, really, to see what God has done. Now, God also says there is going to be civil war in America before this is all said and done, and we're getting a little preview of it right now. And yet, at the same time, you've got Mark Leibovich over at The Atlantic asking, where is Barack Obama? Where is he? Well, the short answer, Mr. Leibovich, is that he's been silenced. And we'll go through that article at The Atlantic when we come back. We also have, I didn't get to World Watch on Friday's program. Then I forgot about it yesterday. So we'll kick off the next segment with Friday's World Watch segment. It might be just a little bit dated, but per usual, there's a good summation of the most important events from all of last week. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on the Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need the Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need the Trumpet Daily. Only the Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to TrumpetDaily.com.
As pressure from U.S. tariffs mounts, Chinese General Secretary Xi Jinping is working to extend China's influence and boost trade in Latin America, the Epoc Times reported on May 27th. On May 14th, China persuaded Colombia to join its Belt and Road Initiative, an extensive infrastructure-building project aimed at making the world more dependent on China. Two-thirds of Latin American countries have joined the initiative. Throughout May, China has hosted a series of meetings for a forum of Latin American and Caribbean leaders. Xi announced that China would extend a credit line of $9.2 billion to Latin American and Caribbean countries in the Chinese currency. Xi has also enacted a plan for China to significantly increase its imports from Brazil and Colombia and increase state investments in both nations. Starting on June 1st, Beijing will allow for one-year visa-free entry into China for the nationals of Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Peru, and Uruguay. This recent charm offensive continues years of Chinese efforts to boost influence over Latin America. In several of the region's countries, such as Brazil, Peru, and Chile, China has overtaken the United States as their largest trading partner. As China gains more influence and power over the nations of Latin America, it is laying the groundwork for an anti-American alliance. To understand where these events are leading, read Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Flurry's article, America is Being Besieged Economically. India is purchasing record volumes of Russian oil, on track to reach the highest level in 10 months in May, Bloomberg reported on May 21st. Imports of Russian oil to India amount to nearly 1.8 million barrels daily. India continues increasing the amount of oil it imports from Russia, despite Russia being under heavy Western sanctions. It is using a loophole to get the oil, declaring it follows only United Nations sanctions, not those imposed by individual states. India's purchases of Russian oil are a major source of funding for the war on Ukraine. India has also asked to purchase additional S-400 missile defense systems from Russia. The weapon proved useful in India's recent conflict with Pakistan. The Bible prophesies a massive alliance of Asian nations, which it calls the Kings of the East. This alliance will be headed by Russia and China and will include India. To understand where these events are leading, read Asia Still Stands with Putin. China deployed two state-of-the-art bombers to the Paracel Islands in the South China Sea, Reuters reported on May 28th. Analysts view the move as the latest sign of China's determination to control the vital maritime region. Reuters based its report on satellite photos taken on May 18th. This is the first time in 5 years China has landed long-range H-6 bombers on Woody Island in the Paracel chain. The Trumpet has watched China's military buildup in the Paracel since 2016, when Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Flurry said China was building a new strategic sea gate in the South China Sea. China's bid to take over sea gates and shipping lanes that have long been under British and U.S. control fulfills a specific Bible prophecy. To learn more about this prophecy, read, China is steering the world toward war. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
That's the website, thetrumpet.com. And of course, if you'd like the magazine version of that every month sent to your mailbox at no cost or obligation, you can also request a one-year subscription, a free one-year subscription at the website or by calling our 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. So this story at the Atlantic, they're wondering, where is Barack Obama? I mean, for all those years that everyone swooned, it was as if he was omnipotent. Barack Obama, the dear leader, running the country. Even during the first term of Donald Trump, I mean, he ran the deep state. All those investigations and impeachments, Obama was behind all that. And now we're seeing Obama's foot soldiers in Los Angeles at the moment, waving foreign flags, just as Obama envisioned. Invite the world in. Now, in this article, you still have, even though Obama's gone, I mean, they're still gushing over him over at the Atlantic. He's like a god to them. The article talks about, though, how the silver-tongued Obama, he just can't seem to say the right things anymore. He doesn't have the same mojo. He doesn't have the kind of power and influence that he once did. Well, who told you about that? God intervening to silence him, to remove him. That has happened. That's fulfilled prophecy. I'll play you the receipts in just a moment, at least from our publications, from what we've said over the years. But for these people, they see Trump as Hitler. And we've got to resist Hitler. And they're clamoring for Obama to lead the way. They want Trump versus Obama. Well, that's what we had from 2008 to 2016 to 2024, Trump's first term, the fake presidency with Biden. I mean, that was 8 years of Trump versus Obama. But then last year, God just brushed him aside and said, okay, that's enough. Amos 7 needs to be fulfilled. The focus is going to be on Jeroboam. And so now you've got the Atlantic asking, where is Barack Obama? How could someone that the media worshipped for years, 15, 16 years, they worshipped him. And now they're calling for him, but he's not answering. It says here, in normal times, no one would deny Obama these diversions. He performed the world's most stressful job for 8 years, served his country, made his history, and deserved to kick back and do the usual ex-president thing, start a foundation, etc., etc. But the inevitable Trump-era counterpoint is that these are not normal times. And Obama's detachment feels jarringly incongruous with the desperation of his longtime admirers, even more so given Trump's assaults on what Obama achieved in office. Trump's going after. He's going after Obama's policies. He's rolling them back, the fundamental transformation. He's sending ICE. The ICE agents have their work cut out for them. If there's as many as a million illegals in Los Angeles alone, well, we'll see how much success Tom Homan has as he tries to clean house. In this sense, it is Trump versus Obama. It continues, except that there's no Obama to head up the opposition like there used to be. It says it would be one thing if Obama had disappeared after leaving the White House, maybe taking up painting like George W. Bush. The problem is that Obama still very much has a public profile, one that screams comfort and nonchalance at a time when so many other Americans are terrified. As everyone knows, he set up shop in D.C. after he left his second term. He's right there in the swamp. He was pushing all the buttons, the get Trump buttons, for 4 years. He orchestrated the election steal. He had the whole media carrying on with that fake narrative, that big lie. And then the big lie about January 6th. You see one thing about L.A., what's happening there now, is you see their true colors, these people, that just for, one moment in time, pretended like they were so supportive of law enforcement, Sick Nick and all the others. And then the police, the Capitol Hill police, the left-wingers, the activists. You think of, what's the guy's name? Kinzinger. Just bawling like a little baby. It was so traumatic, Jan 6. It lasted for 4 hours. In L.A., it's going on for 4 days now. And they're burning and they're looting. They're breaking into the Apple store. The protesters. How do you even call them a protest? The BBC has no problem doing that. Obama has gone silent. This Atlantic piece says Obama's conspicuous scarcity, while Trump inflicts such damage, isn't just a bad look. It's a dereliction of the message that he built his career on. He's always been engaged. He's always been out rallying the troops. And now all of a sudden he's disengaged. He's gone silent. Why? Well, as you, this is what makes our program and thetrumpet.com just utterly unique among all broadcasts. Because we bring God into center stage. God silenced him. We played this montage before. This is of my father talking, going back years even, talking about how that God would eventually do this. And now you see headlines like this at The Atlantic. Where is Barack Obama? Play clip 23.
And that's the two terms, presidential terms of Barack Obama. And now you can add to that his ruling of Mr. Biden, his ruling over him once again. But that isn't going to last very long, I do believe. He's getting too much power, and God is going to have to do something, and I think he's already started moving things, and the tide is turning. You would think, well, maybe God would have to, in some way, remove Barack Obama before we could ever have enough peace to bring Trump back to his job. But you can imagine, if he's out of the way, maybe he'd lose his power just by Satan passing on to another Antiochus, helping Jeroboam. You could see that the Supreme Court and other authorities like that would not be so fearful if something like that were to happen. But it is getting to be where it seems like God is going to have to do something rather dramatic to straighten things out and get Trump back to his job. So we'll have to see how things go there, but I think he has to be removed. I wrote in America Under Attack that he's talking about the Antiochus, but God doesn't mention the Antiochus. Why is that? He doesn't mention him here, and yet that's exactly the one he's talking about, and the reason he didn't use Antiochus is because he's beginning to silence Antiochus, and it is changing before our eyes. And you can see that in the news. He's setting out to blot out the name of Israel. And now God is giving him a taste of his own evil. He's blotting out what he has and the power he has. So he's in the process of silencing this political Antiochus. He is totally out of it. He is going down fast. And you can see it. Obama is being silenced. He's not all the way there, but in the end of all this, he's going to be, this verse, he really is going to be totally silenced.
You only heard it here over the last several years. The same consistent message based on the sure word of Bible prophecy. So many prophecies, as I said earlier, being fulfilled at once, simultaneously. This Atlantic article, he says here, several Democrats I've spoken with said they wish that Obama would stop worrying so much about the dilution factor. While Democrats struggle to find their next phenom, Obama could be their interim boss. We need you, Barack Obama. We need the dear leader. We need the old magic. We need the swooning influence. It says here, he could engage regularly, pointing out Trump's latest abuses. Yes, it might trigger Trump and create more attention than Obama evidently wants, but Trump has shown that ubiquity can be a superpower, just as Biden showed that obscurity can be ruinous. People would notice. Fascinating times that we're living through. Few things, it says. Few things would fire up Democrats like a head-to-head matchup between Trump and Obama. If nothing else, it would be fun to contemplate while Democrats keep casting about for their long-delayed future. The party needs new rising stars, and they need the room to figure out how to meet this moment, just like Obama figured out how to meet the moment 20 years ago, says Jon Favreau, the co-host of Pod Save America. That's one of Obama's former speechwriters. Unless, of course, Trump tries to run for a third term, in which case I'll be begging Obama to come out of retirement. Favreau says, well, I'll leave him alone, Obama, if he wants his if he wants his alone time. But, I mean, we're going up against a lot in Trump. We got to resist Trump. We've got to stop Trump. I mean, this is an incredible fulfillment of Bible prophecy. The LA riots, that's a perfect opportunity for Obama to trigger or start a civil war. He's always wanted it. That was sort of the last act of the communist infiltration to overturn the government, an actual insurrection. And yet, at this critical juncture, Obama's gone missing. Obama's silent. And even many prominent Democrats say that they wish Obama would come back. But he won't. Why? Well, because God saw to it that he was removed, that he got a taste of his own medicine. He has been blotted out. And that is a fulfillment of prophecy. This other article, I think Sam might have gone through it a couple weeks ago, but it's from NBC, where it talks about these former Obama people that came forward last summer to help the Kamala Harris campaign after the fraud that was Joe Biden was fully exposed in that debate. And they contacted one Obama guy who said, no thanks. And then another guy who said, okay, I'll help Kamala. And then he was warned, if you lose, you're going to be seen as a loser. I mean, as it is, Obama and his people, they've been batting 1,000. So why would you take a risk and get behind Kamala Harris? It says here, while many Democrats still admire Plouffe's successes, the harsh words punctuated a growing sentiment. He's the one that helped Kamala and then got some flack because of it. A growing sentiment across a party searching for a path forward. Team Obama's bloom may be falling off the rose. This is The Atlantic and this is NBC pointing out what we've said for years. The bloom has fallen off the rose. More Democrats are openly criticizing Obama strategists and consultants who were long treated as the high priests of their party's policies. What happened? Even the Obama acolytes, they're being criticized. It says here, going forward, it could mark a clean slate for a party whose course for nearly two decades cascaded from decisions Obama had made. For two decades, he was running the show. And then suddenly, he's gone. And then suddenly, even his own people, the Democrat Party, they're writing in The Atlantic, well, where's Obama? I think Jesse Waters commented on this NBC piece a week or two ago. Play clip 22.
But Musk says Trump's just not the same guy. He's asking, was he replaced by a body double? And now Elon thinks Trump should be impeached. He wants to doge Trump. And he says the Trump tariffs will cause a recession. This is not how I thought today would go. None of this is about Elon, Trump says. Quote, I don't mind Elon turning against me, but he should have done so months ago. This is one of the greatest bills ever presented to Congress. I didn't create this mess. I'm just here to fix it.
We got it confused with another one where he talked about Democrats being on a suicide mission. Do we have the one from Jonathan Capehart? That's from NBC. If you have it, play it. If not, I'll keep rolling.
And I think that's why one of the primary reasons why I think President Obama has been scarce is that everyone's looking for him to save the day. And what they keep saying is, no, it's not about us, it's about you. Right. And it seems like the party can't seem to come to grips with that. The Obama people come in, they're the new blood, and now people are starting to complain, oh my God, the Obama people, they're running everything. Some of the criticism, I think, is valid. There is sometimes you get a sense that they think they know everything, they run the world, and in some cases you can understand it because, well, they did win two presidential elections.
They won nonstop for years and years and years. That he was making all the decisions for nearly two decades, as this article brings out. It was Obama who chose Biden as his vice president, offering him the elevated perch that set up his 2020 election and his aborted 2024 reelection. Obama selected Hillary Clinton as his Secretary of State, then anointed her for the Democratic nomination in 2016. The operatives Obama and his top aides empowered have carved out leading decision-making roles at the top of the Democratic Party since then. But after 2024, more Democrats want to see that change. Even the former president's luster was showing signs of fading last fall, a phenomenon that threatens to persist as the next crop of young voters ages into adulthood. It says when the 2008 presidential election arrives, it will be 20 years since Obama's first victory. At that point, more voters will have come of age in the era of Donald Trump than in the era of Obama. What a remarkable fulfillment of Bible prophecy. The sure word of Bible prophecy, this article concludes. It's time to reevaluate the use of consultants and bring in new forward-looking people, says one commentator. The old Obama playbook no longer works. It's Donald Trump that now has the power, king-like power. In some ways, it's Donald Trump that has many of his supporters swooning, almost like Obama's. He can do no wrong. Now, there's some division on the big, beautiful bill and a few other things, I suppose, but he's got a lot of support. I mean, you've got Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, talking about how beautiful the beautiful bill is. They're raving about it. Now, there's some senators that are throwing up some brakes because they don't like all the spending, as they should. $2 trillion in debt every year. $8 trillion added to the debt under Biden, and now $8 trillion is about to be added to the debt. Perhaps more, if they keep spending more. $8 trillion more during the Trump years. This is from America Under Attack, just coming back to Obama. He's commenting here, my father is, about Amos 7 and the fact that Antiochus disappears. He's not in that prophecy. You've got Jeroboam, you've got Amaziah, a religious figure, consulting with Jeroboam, and then you've got God's servant. They're all central to that story in Amos 7. What happened to the political Antiochus, though, my father says? There's a definite shift here that suggests a major change in America. We are entering into a different era. From Amos 7 and verse 7 on, we see no hint of the political Antiochus or Barack Obama. Will God remove him when Jeroboam wars? Will that be the end of the political Antiochus's real power? I mean, that's in America Under Attack. We printed that years ago. Tomorrow's news today. That's what you get. That book, by the way, we offer like the Trumpet magazine without cost or obligation. Just call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.